appeared. Vayidaber Elokim Moshe vayomer lo ani Hashem vayiro al Avraham el Yitzchak v'el Yaakov bekel Shakai. Bekel Shakai u'shmi Hashem lo yinoidati lohem. Rashi tells us that Hashem was very critical towards Moshe Rabbeinu. That Moshe, why? It's, you know, tit for tat, because Moshe Rabbeinu was very critical towards Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, "Lama harayoy salam hazeh? What are you doing, Hashem? Why are you torturing these people? Lama harayoy salam." Let me read Rashi. Rashi says, "Da baydaber lekim al Moshe." The very first Rashi on the parasha, "Diber ito mishpat." Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu with harshness. Al shehiksha ledaber veloimar mida keneged mida. Because Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Hashem with harshness. Moshe said to Hashem, Lama harei oso la'am hazeh? Why have you committed a crime? Ra is evil. Harei oso, the shoresh of the word harei oso is ra. Hashem, you're evil. That's a very serious accusation that Moshe Rabbeinu has lodged against the Ribbono Shel Olam. Have you behaved in an evil manner towards your people? So Hashem says, Moshe Rabbeinu, watch your mouth. Vayidaber Elokim, Elokim is Midas Hadin, and the word Vayidaber is also Din, harshness. And then Hashem gives him Musa, and Hashem says, excuse me here, you're not the first person on the scene. Before you, there was Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And they never had a complaint against me. To them, I appeared with the name of Shakai. This is all mystical things, which we really have no understanding of. Absolutely not even a hair's breadth to understand what these things mean. But it says it in the Pasuk, it says it in Rashi. I appeared to them, I made myself known to them through the name of Shakai. Shin, Dalid, Yud. This is the Shem Hashem that appears on our tefillin. The Shin, Tefillin Shel Roish. Meir is wearing Tefillin Shel Roish. Meir, where's your tefillin, Meir? and the Dalid, and the Kesher Shel Tefillin. No, it's very funny, Meir, that Moshe, Hashem says to Moshe, Reis es achorai. I'll show you the Dalit, but not the Shin. We never saw your Dalit, Meir. We only saw the Shin. All right. Just joking. Let's go weiter, okay? But Isa, so Hashem appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu with the Shem Shakai. And that's a name of limitation. Dai. Sha'omar le'olamai dai. But I already told you, I'm appearing to you with Yud Kei Vav Kei. Again, these are Kabbalistic words. I will reward you. I will reward the Jewish people. Have faith. To the Avos, I never promised reward, and yet they were still faithful. So certainly you should have faith, because I promise I will reward you. And then Rashi goes on, something very interesting. Rashi, this is not as Rashi's Derech. And Rashi begins to quote for us chapter and verse. Rashi very rarely does this. Rashi is always very, very kitzur. The ones who add in the chapter and verse are usually the modern-day publishers who want to embellish the Rashi, so they'll tell you, they'll put in parentheses the psukim, and they'll tell you the whole pasuk. But Rashi, interesting, when Rashi wrote his kuntres, it was called the kuntres, his original commentary on Rashi, he didn't write the whole pasuk, he didn't go into all the details. He just wrote, you know, very simple words. And yet here Rashi made an exception. Rashi, for whatever reason, felt it necessary to actually quote for you chapter and verse. And Rashi here says as follows. Let me read you the Rashi. It's very important, the idea we want to bring out. V'yabaloni Hashem, it goes on to say, uvaloshna ze the kel shakai. Let me just find, where am I reading from in this Rashi? Here it is. It's in Pasig Dalit. Rashi pasuk dalid v'gam hakimosi es brisi gam kishen nir esi lohem bekel shakai hitzavti hivemarti brisi beni v'nechem loseis nevteretz kana. Now here comes Rashi. Here I'm going to read the Rashi pasuk dalid. La Avraham b'parashas milo nemar ani kel shakai. I am shakai. Again, Kabbalah. But Shakai means Hashem's name. I'm not promising you nothing. I have no expectations from me. And then he goes on to say, V'nosati l'cha ulezaracha acharecha es eretz migurech. I'm going to give this land that you are dwelling upon to you and your ancestors. Okay. L'yitzchok. Where do we find Hashem uses Shem Shaka by Yitzchok? Ki l'cha ulezaracha etenes kol ho'aretzoy so'el v'hakimoisi es hashavu'ah asher nishpati li Avraham. And notice, it doesn't say Kel Shakai. Rashi's on the defense, because it doesn't say Kel Shakai anywhere by Yitzchak. It doesn't say. It says, I will give to your seed all of these lands. I will establish the oath that I have taken to Avraham. And Rashi says, that's the Kel Shakai. The fact that Hashem says to Yitzchak, ditto, whatever I did for Avraham, I will do for you. The oath that I've taken with Avraham is what I want you to look it up. Look it up. Click on the link and look it up. The oisa shvua shenishpati li Avraham bekel shakai amarti. Okay, so Rashi, basically, you see Rashi over here is going on the defense a little bit by acknowledging that trying to defend the pasuk. I appeared to them b'shem Shakai. Really? You didn't appear to them b'shem Shakai. To Avraham you appeared b'shem Shakai. It doesn't say anywhere that Hashem appeared to Yitzchak b'kel Shakai. Nothing. It says that Hashem says to Yitzchak, Yitzchak, you're going to get this land, and I'm going to establish with you the same oath, the same shavuah that I've made with your father, Avraham. So Rashi, and since that Shavua was said Bekel Shakai, so you can automatically assume, or it has to mean that with you it's also going to be with Kel Shakai, but it doesn't say it. And then when it comes to Yaakov, it's even more bizarre. L'Yaakov, Ani Kel Shakai. Yaakov Avinu, Hashem appears Kel Shakai. Problem is, though, and he says, pray Urve, be fruitful and multiply, v'yesa oretz asher, and the land which you are dwelling upon, I'm going to give to your, now let me read, this is critical, let me go turn to the pasuk, perik lamed hey. Perik Lamed Hey Pasik Yud Aleph and Yud Beis. Perik Lamed Hey Pasik Yud Beis. Vayomer lo Elokim Ani Kel Shakai. Pray Urve, be fruitful and multiply. Goyu Kal Goyim Ye Mimeka. Umalachim Mechalatzecha Yetzeyu. V'yaso oretz asher nosati li Avraham uli Yitzchak l'cho etnena. To you I will give it. Uli zaracha acharecha. To your seed afterwards. Etein es oretz, I will give the land. Now there's a very big problem over here. It's true. Indeed it's true. That Hashem appears to Yitzchak, to Yaakov with Kel Shakai. But Hashem does not promise him the land. Hashem does not say to Yitzchak, to Yaakov, I'm not giving it to you. I already gave it to Avraham and to Yitzchak. And you'll get it. L'chot nena. A hand me down. So what I'm trying to point out is that Rashi here is going to town describing Eretz Yisrael. And Rashi says, all three of them receive the land with the Shem Shakai. The Shem Shakai is not even the relevant point I want to make over here. The Rashi bringing these psukim, what comes out is the only one that really got the land with Kel Shakai is Avraham. The other two, Yitzchak and Yaakov, there's a missing component. When Hashem promised the land to Avraham, He promised the land to Avraham with the term Kel Shakai. Kel Shakai is part of the DNA of getting the land. Ani Kel Shakai, Rashi quotes the Pasuk, Ani Kel Shakai, let me read those words here. I am Kel Shakai, Vinosati Lecha, you, Avraham, are going to receive this land through this principle of faith, Emuna. Emuna with no expectation to be rewarded. Trust me. And I'm not going to the very high level of faith, not like the name of Hashem of Yudke Vavke, which means that I have been proven to validate my words. Yitzchak, when it comes to Yitzchak, we got a problem, because Yitzchak, it doesn't even say the word Kel Shakai. However, Yitzchak has an advantage, because to Yitzchak Hashem says, L'cho ulizar'acho etenes kol horat sosoel. I'm giving it to you. Hashem gave the land directly to Avraham. Hashem gave the land directly to Yitzchak. When Hashem gave the land to Avraham, Hashem gave it to him with Kel Shakai. When Hashem gave the land to Yitzchak, he did not give it with Kel Shakai. And he said, oh, you want to know about the Shavua? Refer back to Avraham Avinu. But he did not get it directly. It was indirect. And then when it comes to Yaakov, there's a Kel Shakai. You're going to get there's a Kel, but I'm giving you nothing. I gave the land already to Avraham and to Yitzchak, and you will just... it'll be a hand-me-down. The words are, again, these are critical words. Rashi quotes, Rashi just doesn't go to the end of the Pasuk. Rashi just says, Hashem appeared to Yaakov, Vayoymer, Lo Elokim, Ani, I am Kel Shakai. Okay, you got it. You clinched it. You can't deny it. It says Kel Shakai. Pray, Reve, be fruitful and multiply. Goyim nation, Nukahal Goyim, a multitude of nations. Iyemi Mekel, come forth from you. From your loins will come kings. And what about the land? V'yes ha'aretz asher, which? Nosati. I have already given it to whom? Le'Avraham u'le'Yitzchak. The land is occupied. It's taken. Oh, you happen to be the grandchild, the Enochel. Okay. L'chot nena. You'll get it. Only after Hashem says to him, I've already given the land that I've already given to Avraham and to Yitzchak, l'chot nena, you'll get it. So, ulezarecha acharecha teines haaretz. Comes out, the only one that really got the land, b'shlemus, with the full scope of what the pasuk says in this parsha, vo'eiro, I appeared, El Avraham, El Yitzchak, V'El Yaakov, I appear to them b'kel Shakai, Ushmi Hashem lo nodati lohem, and then the pasuk goes on to say, V'gam hakimosi es brisi tam lo seis to give lohem, to give to them as Eretz Kinoan, Eretz Yisrael, es Eretz migurim asher garuva. The only one that really, really got the purest form of what this pasuk says, the combination of being given the gift of the land with the principle of the ultimate emun in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, without any expectations, without any acknowledgement that HaKadosh Baruch Hu validates his words, was Avraham Avinu. Thank you very much for the coffee. Yitzchak and Yaakov are each one is missing one piece of the puzzle. Yitzchak was given the land, the Pasuk says he was given the land to him. Doesn't say that he's going to get the land as a hand-me-down from Avraham Avinu. L'cha, I'm giving it to you. What do you mean giving it to you? Hashem already gave it to Avraham Avinu. What do you mean giving it to you? Somehow, we don't understand this, but there are many dimensions of giving. Hashem gave the land to Avraham, and Hashem gave the land to Yitzchak. How can you give the land twice? How can you give the land twice? Obviously, the land is not a physical land. The land has a spiritual nature. Ner le'echad, ner le'meah. But it doesn't say Kel Shakai by Yitzchak. Kel Shakai, refer back to your father. Yaakov Avinu, just the opposite. Yaakov Avinu is a Kel Shakai. I'm not giving you nothing, Yaakov. I gave it already. Asher nasati le'Avraham u'le'Yitzchak. I gave it to them already. L'cha t'nena. You'll also get it. There's a mention, before we mention that Yaakov will get it, there's an acknowledgement that someone already has it. Now, you can interpret as you wish, but there's something going on here. There's some type of statement that you are just coming on the heels of someone who came before you. And this opens up for us a whole new understanding of the Avos. When we look at the Avos, the typical symbol and saying the Avos is that Avraham and Yitzhak and Yaakov are three independent pillars. You go into a building, and there are three, there's A, B, C. Okay, the building only needs one column to support, but the architect, in order to, you know, make sure it stands nice and tall and the sound doesn't collapse, the architect, he put in three pillars, just in case. Each one by itself stands on its own. Each one is thoroughly independent. Each one contributes something totally unique and is not dependent on its predecessor. I mean, of course, that's the way we ordinarily understand it. And along comes this parsha, which is really the opening of Moshe Rabbeinu's leadership to Klal. Last week began. Here we're going further in his leadership, and here HaKadosh Baruch Hu over here is the Dal Lashonis of Geula, which leads into the fifth Lashon of Eretz Yisrael, and is telling us about Eretz, the Avos, and connecting all the dots together, and it presents a very different type of relationship between Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And the way it presents is the Ikor, the purest of the Avos is Avraham. Avraham has both elements in its purest form. Hashem gave everything in this world to Avlecha, to you. And to Avraham Avinu, Hashem appeared Bikel Shakai, which Rashi tells us is a very, very lofty, all we need to know, a very lofty degree of faith. We for us, Rashi is saying that for us to have faith is very easy because we have history behind us. Hindsight is 20/20. It's easy for us. Avram did not have that. Avram never saw the fulfillment of all the promises. He saw a violent world. They tried to kill him. He was thrown into the Kivshan Oesh. He was one man against the entire world. He lived in a very violent world. He had pure faith in Hashem against all reason, against all odds. He has it all. Yitzchak, Rashi is presenting, is not the same. Yitzchak has a maila. Hashem gave it to him. But the emuna, the kel shakai, is omitted. You can't ignore that. Hashem says, refer back, click on the link to refer to, read the contract, read the terms and agreement and click here. Avraham was the one who invented the principle of Kel Shakai. Yaakov Avinu created his own emuna. Yaakov Avinu, indeed, he faced challenges that the Avraham Avinu did not have. He went to Lavan, he had a whole different unique set of challenges in his life. And he had a nemuna, but his connection to Eretz Yisrael is built on a legacy, on a connection to his predecessors, Avraham and Yitzchak. It's a very different dynamic when we read. It's not Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Each one is independent. Avraham is the purest. Yitzchak has one element of Avram, but is lacking in one. Or not lacking, but it's not with the same intensity. Yaakov is just the opposite. And this can possibly explain why in the Shemoneh Esrei, the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, what do? Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak v'Elokei Yaakov. Each one was unique. Each one brought to this world an incredible blessing. Avram is chesed, Yitzchak is avoda, to serve Hashem. Yaakov is emes, is Hashem's Torah, the midah of emes. Or some say the synthesis of the balance between kindness and harshness. Find a medium. And then at the end of the Shemona Esrei, we do something that's very difficult. And many want to say Melech Oizer refers to Avraham. We're going backwards. Oizer is Yaakov. Umoshia is Yitzchak. Umogain is Avraham. Hashem protected him when he was thrown to the Kivshon Oish, as we say by Melech Sidoim. And then Baruch Ato Hashem, Mogain Avraham. Excuse me. The end of the bracha should come. Is ordinarily goes back to the beginning of the bracha. Baruch Ato Hashem Mogein, or Baruch Ato Hashem, the Mogein Avram, the Moshiach Yitzchak, the Oizer of Yaakov. Why are we B'cha Chosmin? Why do we, are we Chosim only with Avraham? What is it about Avraham that makes him unique more than Yitzchak and Yaakov? Why? It's not fair. You'll say, I know there are many answers. Chesed, doing kindness is much more important than MS, than learning Torah, than davening. Okay, that's debatable, you should know. Not everyone is so pleased to say that the midah of doing chesed is more valuable than the midah of davening to Hashem. If you have a choice, if you can either go and deliver Tomchei Shabbos packages, but require you to daven b'yichidus or to miss Shacharis entirely, which one is more important?
But okay, how about that he came to his emuna on his own without being taught?
He came. He's the first. You're saying he just the fact that he's the first. Absolutely, he is the first. He came to his emuna on his own. He's the first who's invented it. But it appears that Yitzchak and Yaakov invented principles of emuna or concepts in Yadus that were just as unique as Avram Avinu. We have three, they're separate. I look at Avram, look at Yitzchak, look at Yaakov. It's true that he was the first. Rabbi Chol, you are right. There are many, many answers to this question of why we conclude with Baruch Atah Hashem Mogein Avraham. Why do we conclude the bracha B'cha Chosmin? The classic answer is because at the end of the day, Chesed indeed is more significant, more important on a practical level than the Midos of Yaakov and the Midos of Yitzhak. That's like a simple answer, which is certainly true. And what you're saying is also an idea, is that he was the first. No, first come, first serve. But this Rashi stares us in the face and explains to us, says something very powerful. And it says, here we are, Hashem is laying out who are the others. If not for this pasuk, we can talk from today until tomorrow and try to define who are they? Who are they? What are they all about? And this pasuk says very clearly, Vo'era el Avraham. Hashem is recording this. I appear to Avraham, Yitzchak vel Yaakov, b'kel Shakai. And Rashi tells us, what does it mean, kel Shakai? To summarize, I was known to, they had faith in me in a degree of faith that's beyond your comprehension. You live in this world and have faith in me with a principle called Yud Kei Vav Kei, which for us, we don't know what all this means anyway. But Rashi explains, it's a lower, relatively speaking, compared to Shakai, it's a lower level of faith. Because you know, you do something good, you get a reward. You do a good job, I'm going to reward you. You don't do a good job, you do a Naver, I'm going to punish you. You have history behind you. You know it's true. You can look back and you can study the world. You can see that Hashem rewards tzaddikim, Hashem punishes the wicked, even though generally it's tzaddik v'ra'loi, rasha v'tovloi. Yeah, there's a whole balance, everything. So, but you have a lot behind you and a lot to relate to come to the conclusion that it's worthy to have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov did not have that. They were loners. The whole world was against them. They had a lofty, lofty emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is beyond your comprehension. That's the first thing you should know when you mention their name. Don't look at them like any Tom, Dick, and Harry. These are people who were known to Hashem, who knew Hashem through Kel Shakai. Number two, the next thing you have to know about the Avos is, it was to them, this is the Pasuk, the Gam, what's the second element that you should know about the Avos? The Gam, Haki Moisi, Esbrisi Itam, Losei, Slamis Eretz Kinon. The second thing Hashem says that is unique about the Avos, that you should always remember, is I promised them Eretz Yisrael. Each one of them, I promised to give the land to. Eis Eretz Migurihem Asher Garuva. Wow! The Ribbono Shel Olam has spoken. He has told us the two most important things you should know about the Avos and whenever you want to mention their names. And Rashi was so kind for us to quote the Psukim. And Rashi acknowledges, we got a problem. Because, you know, it actually doesn't say Kel Shakai anywhere in the whole Torah by Yitzchak. And actually, it doesn't say anywhere that Hashem promised to give the land directly to Yaakov Avinu. It says, I'm giving it to you with the introduction. I already gave it to them. I gave it to your father, your grandfather. So doesn't that mean there's a Yerusha that automatically it's yours? I'm giving it to you again? Okay, yeah, this and that. But the Rashi telling us, the Pasuk here is telling us the two critical elements, and Rashi is telling us the Psukim, and at least just a very natural, simple conclusion to understand what Hashem's understanding of the Avos are. Avraham is the purest in both of these realms. Emuna, he was the one that was given Eretz Shol out of left field. Yitzchak also out of left field. I'm giving you, what do you mean giving it to you? What about the Yerusha? Yerusha! What does that mean? Maybe there was no such thing as Yerusha in those times. A person dies, maybe the land is Hefker. What does it mean? Maybe there was no Yerusha. How does this all of this work? What does all this principle mean? No, I'm giving you, Yitzchak, the land. But Kel Shakai? No. That, obviously, you are part of Kel, but it's secondary. Yaakov is primary Kel Shakai, but the land? It's yes. L'cha. Only after I want to make it clear to you, V'nasati la'avraham u'liyitzchak, as Eretz, the land, and you'll also get it. That automatically shows us how the puzzle comes together. Avraham is the purest. Yitzchak connects, is unique in one way, connects to Avraham in the second way. Exactly what is lacking by Yitzchak is the complete opposite by Yaakov Avinu, to be mashlim between Yitzchak and Yaakov. We create a new Avraham. Avraham has both. Yitzchak is coming to rebuild. Avraham dies. We have to rebuild. What does Yitzchak rebuild? One element. What does Yaakov rebuild? The other element. Yaakov and Yitzchak together recreate Avraham. Baruch atah Hashem Mogein Avraham. And that is a mashal for Klal Yisrael. The Avos are gone. What do we do in this world? All generations. Each generation is able to recreate an element, one element of the greatness of the Avos, of our predecessors. Unfortunately, living in the world, there's a principle of Niskanu Hadoros. But each generation follows in this pattern of contributing one element that our predecessors didn't have. This generation is different. So Niskanu Hadoros, I once heard an educator, I've been in the business of teaching for about 50 years. And someone says, what's the difference between your students now in the year 2021 and when you first started teaching all the way back, who knows, in the 70s? What's the difference? So on the spot, the teacher said, it's just different. You can't say one is better, one is better, one is worse. My students in the 70s, they had certain qualities that you'll never, ever find today in the year 2021. But the students that I have to... Whatever she says certain things, I want to go... Whatever, she says certain things. I don't want to say what they are because they're a little controversial. But and the students today in the year 2021, they have qualities that are incredible, that the students in the 70s didn't come near them in this prat. They're different. Don't say, oh, today niskat nu hadoros, everyone is pathetic. It's not like it was in the Shalom Kadmonis. It's a pasuk in the Kehelet. Kilo mechachma. This does not come from wisdom to make such a statement. She said, this is a woman, she said, they're just different. They're different. Each generation has its unique mailos and its chesroinus. And that is the story of Jewish history. In every generation, each generation recreates from the avos one dimension of their greatness. Avraham was everything. Everything. He was Kel Shakai, and he was, I'm giving you the land. Next generation, Avram's gone. Niskatnu hadoros. That's right. So we have to rebuild. The way we rebuild is not that, oh, the next generation has to have everything. Every generation contributes one element. Yitzchak contributed, he recreated. You are worthy to receive the land in your own right. You're worthy in your own right. You deserve the holiness of this land. Forget about Avraham Avinu. In your own right, there's going to be no mention of Avraham. You, I'm giving the land to you. Forget about it, Sayyus. You're getting it. You've earned that. But, you know, it's Neskanu Hadaras. You're not Avraham Avinu. You're lacking in Kel Shaka. Kel Shaka, you're going to have to borrow from Avraham Avinu. Along comes Yaakov Avinu. Unfortunately, Hashem doesn't say to Yaakov, I'm giving you the land in your own merit. Asher nosati li Avraham uli Yitzchak. Ulchot nena, you'll also get it, but I have to first mention those two. But what have you recreated from Avraham Avinu that is equal? You've recreated the Kel Shakai. The emuna that you have exhibited, you have expressed, and this is a marshal for the history of Klal Yisrael. Every generation has a quality that is shokel, that is equal to the tekufa of the greatest time in Klal Yisrael, whatever that is. You want to go back to the others, the Shiftei Kah, the Bayis Rishon, wherever we're coming to reconnect, to rebuild, to reestablish, every generation provides a unique quality. We may be lacking in the other qualities, because that's the way the world is, but every generation brings a recreation of the pure original quality that was B'Shanim Kadmonios. And the next generation will fill in the next gap, and the next gap, the next gap. And together as a whole, we recreate Baruch Ato Hashem Mogen Avraham. We recreate the greatness, the Shleimus of where we've all come from. Okay, let's go to another idea. This week we learned about leadership, Jewish leadership. I want to go back and talk about current events, not so much, not to get involved in any politics whatsoever, but it's a hagdama. As a hagdama, we know Chazal tell us a person le'olam always with addicts, is very powerful le'olam, should run to see the kavod malchus of Basar V'dam. If you hear that a king is coming to town, run. Run. You're even allowed, the Kohanim are allowed to contaminate themselves to the dead, as long as it's not an Isra D'Raisa, to see Kevoid Malchus of Olam Hazeh, because it will be a tool for you to appreciate the Kevoid Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the halacha. Kohanim were allowed to go jump over graves in certain conditions, which is absurd, in order to see the Melech, Basar V'dam, passing through the town, to see the whole entourage, the Kvod Malchus, because this will be a tool to appreciate the Kvod Malchus of Hashem. Now, this Maamar Chazal is not just a Maamar Chazal of going out to go see with your own eyes an entourage passing, a limousine passing by. It represents the much bigger of things. Chazal are telling us, it's a little bit extreme what I'm saying, but I don't think it's wrong. Study politics. You should You shouldn't go live in a ghetto and go turn off your don't ever go look at a read a column or read the news. If you see there is malchus in this world, there is, whether you like it or not, this world is controlled by authorities. And if you'll study and appreciate the kavod malchus in this world, the way this world operates, the authority in this world, it will be a tool for you to appreciate the contrast. It will be a backdrop to propel you to appreciate the kavod malchus of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Chazal are endorsing the study of politics. Go get a PhD in political science. I don't know, there's such a degree, but I'm joking around a little bit, but there is such a principle. And when events happen in the world, it certainly opens up our minds to at least get an appreciation of what it says in the pasuk. What am I trying to bring out? Nothing political, just an observation. In last week's parasha, Hashem recruits Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem says, Moshe, I'm not going. Leave me alone. I don't want this job. No way. Why? Aaron is better than me. And Moshe was too humble. They're not going to listen to me, this and that. And one of his arguments he made was, let me read you the words exactly, word for word. And this argument came at the very end. Here, after everything was ready to go. Hashem gave him the signs. He convinced him. All systems go. And then at the very, very end, Moshe says, no. There's one more problem I got. Vayomi Moshe Hashem, bi adoni. Loi ish devorim anoichi. I'm not an ish devorim. What does that mean? I'm not eloquent. I don't know what to say. I'm not a person who has words. What does Hazrat Rashi say? Loi, if he'd say, loi ish devorim, pasuk yud. No Rashi, no words. I'm not a man of words. I'm not eloquent. I don't know the language. I don't speak Egyptian. I don't speak Hebrew. I don't speak Aramaic. I don't know what I speak. Can't figure out what language I speak. Gam mitimol, never. Not from yesterday, gam mishul, shayim, from 3 days ago, an expression, never, not from time immemorial. I got an F in speech. In college, I got an F in that class. Public speaking, Hashem, is not my thing. It's just not my thing. Gam me'oz da'berecha el avdecha. And then he goes on to say, ki chivad peh, ame chivad peh, u chivad lo shoin anoichi. Three terms he uses. Loi ish devorim, chivad peh, chivad lo shoin. Does Rashi translate what it means, chivad peh? Bichvedus ani medaber. With heaviness, I speak. It's not really clear what it means, but it means he has a speech impediment. It sounds much deeper than that. It sounds like, I don't have the words. I don't have the expression. I don't have what to say. I don't have material. I don't have a good story. Today, be a rabbi, I have to have a good story, right? I don't have any storybooks. Over here in Midian, there's no Eichlers. There's no, they don't deliver. Amazon Prime does not deliver to Midian. I don't have any books. I don't have any good stories. I don't have any homilies. I don't have any chomer ledrush. Loi ish devorim anochi kivad peh vad lashon. Okay? This week's parsha. So what does Hashem say to him? Moshe, I will write your speeches. No problem, Moshe. That's not a problem. Speech write. Don't you know, Moshe Rabbeinu, every head of state has a team of speechwriters. We have teleprompters, and we have special earpieces you put in your ear. No one can see them. They'll tell you what to say when you need to say it. We have a whole system here, Moshe Rabbeinu, in place, ready for you to give you what you need to say at the right time. We have technology for this, and we have a very big budget for this. What does Hashem respond to him? Oh, Haloi onoichi Hashem. Don't worry about that. I'll take care of your problem. I'll take care of what you need to say. V'atolech, you go. V'anochi hayem picha. V'horisicha asher tidaber. I will teach you what to say. In other words, I'll write your speeches. Isn't that what it says? V'horisicha. Okay, fine. Now, let's go to this week's parasha. This week's parasha. Parashas for Era. Moshe Rabbeinu. He speaks to the Jewish people. He tells them the Dalal Shoinis. He goes and he tells them the Hevesi. He tells them five Lashonis, in fact. Some say seven Lashonis. You read carefully, there are really seven Lashonis. And then you know what happens? It says, Vayidabe Moshe Kane El Bnei Yisrael, V'loshomol Moshe. They didn't accept. Rash the Lord, they were not Mekabel. Why? Mikoitse Ruach Ume Avoidah Kosho. We might talk about that possibly in a few minutes. Well, we want to first finish this idea. So what happens now? Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Leim, or boil dab, fine, bo daber el paramelech mitzrayim. Vishalach es b'nei Yisrael me'aretzo. Go to Paro. So Moshe says, go to Paro? I just spoke to my own people, and they didn't listen to me. Kal v'choymer. Vayidaber Moshe l'fnei Hashem Leim, or hein b'nei Yisrael lo yishom u'elai. Ve'ech yishveni Paro. And now comes the gold. Now comes what I want to talk about. And this is an incredible hashracha pratis, how this pasuk could be read against the backdrop of the events of this week. Va'ani aral sefosayim. Whoa. That's a new line here. This is new. That's not what it said last week's parasha. In last week's parasha, when Moshe complained, he said, Lo ish divorim, I'm a kevad peh, and a kevad loshoin. And Hashem said to him, V'horesicha, I will teach you what to speak. I will give you the words. I'll teach you what to say. And here Moshe says, I'm an aral sefosayim. What's the difference between aral sefosayim versus last week's parasha, lo ich devodim anochi, kvad per kvad loshein? So Rashi says, long Rashi and aral sefosayim, but basically, at the end of Rashi, he compares it to a bris milah, the orla. What is the orla? The foreskin. There is a piece of skin that covers the gid. A baby has skin. There is basically just a piece of skin. It's a layer of skin that conceals a part of the body, part of the organ. And this skin is removed. And in fact, there is a minig, either the sandik or the moil, when they remove the orla at a bris milah, they say the words niskalsa ho atara. The atara, which whatever it means, has been revealed, has been uncovered. At a bris milah, the orla, the foreskin, is removed. And there is a revelation of what is beneath it. Aral sifosayim means there's something covering my mouth. I'm muzzled. Which means, let's understand, I have what to say. I have what to say. Last week's parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Ribbono Shel Olam, I don't have choymer lidrush. I don't have material. I don't have the words. I don't know what to say. I don't have a speech. I don't have ideas. I don't have concepts. I don't have the technique. This week, he says, I have what to say. Boy, do I have what to say. I have plenty to say. I have ideas, concepts. I have evidence. I have, you name it. I have what to present Paro. Paro is a criminal. Paro has harmed the people. He has tortured them. Paro has committed crimes against humanity. But you know what the problem is? I'm an aral. My mouth has been closed, has been covered. There's an orla. There is foreskin. There is a layer, Rashi says, like the orla hamechas es hagid. That's what Rashi concludes. It's autumn. It's closed. And at the end of Rashi, he says, like an orla, that's mechas es hagid. There is something on top of my mouth that covers it, that prevents the words from coming out. There's a fundamental difference between Moshe Rabbeinu's argument last week and Moshe Rabbeinu's argument this week. Last week, I don't have what to say. This week, I have what to say, but I can't say it. My Twitter account has been canceled. That, isn't it ironic that these words are presented in the backdrop against an attack on the First Amendment, the freedom of speech, where yechidim are behaving, acting as the jury, the judge, the witnesses. One person can decide what's right, what's wrong. One person, two people, three people. Pilei ploim. Pilei ploim, the judge, the jury. What is called the definition of everything there is in the world. For this one it is, that one it's not. Aral sefasai. No, you can't talk. You're not allowed to talk. You have what to say. Oh boy, do you have what to say. But you can't talk. Halay davar.
Who is the censor?
Oh, good question. It's a very good question. But you know, if not for the events of this week, I would never ever imagine to look at the pasuk in this way. I would never imagine even to pay attention to something like this. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, "I have what to say, but I'm censored." Obviously, the eich yishme'eni faro, how will Paro listen to me? Va'ani aral sefasayim. It almost sounds like a lot of the first that he asked the question, "What's going on?" He says, "Hey, neishol lo yishme'eni live the eich yishme'eni faro." Stop right there. Kal v'chaymer. You finished. There's really no need to say the next word, next few words. What is he saying? Vani aral sefasayim. There's another reason why. Even if I have what to say, anyway, cancel my account. Paro is going to muzzle. He's going to prevent me from expressing the ideas that need to be said. And now we learn something very, very fascinating. Very, very shocking. And it really, you know, opens up a whole new way of thinking about current events. And he says, Hashem says, you know, Hashem does not say to Moshe, "Okay, Moshe, I have an idea for you. Why don't you make your own social media network?" Hashem doesn't say that to him. Hashem, okay, well, now we're going to go and have a new social media network. Or we're going to... Or you know what? I'm going to reinstate your Twitter accounts. Okay? Hashem doesn't do that. Hashem says, "You're right. You have been muzzled. You know what? You're going to communicate in a different way through other people. You cannot talk. You have been silenced. But there are other people out there in the world that are not, that have not been silenced, that do have a platform and do have exposure. You have to say, I don't know how this applies in today's day and age. I'm not getting into politics today. I'm just using it as an example.
I'm known as the server.
To bring out. Hashem says to him, now first of all, Hashem, first we go on a whole digression. We go to the Yichus. And then Hashem says to him, okay, you're right. What you do is, we return to the entire thing. The pasuk repeats the entire thing. As we go, we digress, and then we repeat exactly the same pasuk. Vayomer Moshe lefnei Hashem, "Hey, nani aral sefasayim ve'ech yishnef," exactly the same thing. And then Vayomer Hashem Moshe, "Re'ei nisaticha elokim lefaro v'aron noachicha yeneviyecha." Aaron will speak for you. Hashem did not tell him, "I will take off the orla sapeh." I'm not taking it off. You've been muzzled. Accept it. You've been muzzled. Don't fight it. Now is not the time to fight it, because later we know that Moshe was not muzzled. As we learned yesterday it was Rosh Chodesh Shvat, in Parshas, in Eilah HaDvarim, Rosh Chodesh Shvat, Moshe, Mishneh Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu was not an Aral Sefasayim. He got out his message. He got his message to the whole world. He got out his message. That was later. He was healed. I'm not even talking about healing. I want to interpret these words homiletically. Let's not talk about any speech impediment. Let's talk homiletical talk. Moshe Rabbeinu, last week's parasha says, "Lo ish devarim anoichi." Hashem's response was, "V'chorei sicha es asher tedaber." I will teach you what to say. Moshe before said, I don't have the words. Here, Moshe, okay, I got the words, but I have been silenced. Let's learn the words homiletically. I don't have a voice in this society. I'm going to go to Paro. Paro's not going to listen to me. I don't have a voice. I have what to say, but I don't have an audience with him. So Hashem says, that's right. You don't. I acknowledge you don't. You've been silenced. And now is not the time to undo the silence. You've been muted? Nope. Live with it for now. The day will come, we'll get you unmuted. Right now, you got to deal with the facts on the ground. And plan B, there are other people out there in the world that are not muted, that do have a platform, that have the ear of society. You have to use those people to get your message out. And who is that person that leads the competition? The other social media platforms where they do have their voice? It's Aaron. Aaron, achicha yihye nevi'echa. A different technique. Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, now is not the time to fight. Now is not the time. They won in this way. You have to go and express yourself through other people. And that can be more difficult. Absolutely. But it has an advantage also. You know what it has an advantage? You know what the advantage is of Aaron Achi Yenaviyecha? You convince your own people you're right. And this is a theme which appears throughout the entire parasha. When this is an old var, when Paro says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Tnu lochem moifes. When Moshe meets Paro, Paro says to Moshe, prove to me you're the real deal. Prove to me. Do a miracle. So Paro, the correct grammar should be, Tnu li moifes. Do something to show me. That's not what Paro says. Tnu lochem. To you. Show me that you really believe in the cause. If you don't believe in your own cause, then you're just a troublemaker. If you really believe in yourself, then maybe I'll deal with you. But if you're just coming here to make trouble, you don't even believe in your own cause. You're just here to make noise. You have nothing to do with yourself. You don't have a job. You're just looking to make trouble. And you don't even believe in your own mission. Then, you think you're going to survive? If you show me that you really believe in your own cause, then I'm going to take you seriously. There's a silver lining when you've been silenced, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu. Because now you're going to have other people speak for you. And the only way they're going to speak for you is if they really believe in you. And if they don't believe in you, then maybe you're wrong. Maybe indeed your message is not valuable. Now you're going to have to go talk to Aaron and to the Zakenim and to Klal Yisrael, who do have a voice in society, whose accounts have not been canceled, and you have to convince them that you're right. And if you're going to talk to them and tell them the message, they will speak because they will believe in it. But if you're just going to say, oh, cheer me on, and this is just a football game, and when the football game is over, no one could care less who won the game. You don't even remember who won the game the next day. Then you know something? So maybe it's good that your voice has been silenced. Maybe that's part of the hashkacha, because your message is not a true message. Now you have to prove your message is worthy to be heard. Speak to your friends. Convince them. And if they are convinced, they will speak for you. And when they'll speak for you, the world will listen. And ultimately, your voice will be heard as well. The Psukim. Isn't this? This is the message of the Psukim. And this is something which, you know, it's enlightening. I don't know how this can apply. I'm not trying to go into study political science here. But we can take the events of the week and we can use it as a backdrop to try to delve into what was taking place here in Mitzrayim. Here we have some hard facts. Last week's parasha, we have a terminology of lo ish devodim anoichi. This week's parasha, we have aral sefosayim. And last week's parsha, Hashem says to him, I'll take care of your problems. And this week Hashem says, I'm not taking care of your problems. That's right, you got a problem. And you have to find an alternative, a solution. And the solution is going to be, you have to have someone else talk for you. And someone's going to go talk for you. How does that work? They better believe in what you believe in. Have a conversation with your own people and see if they believe in you. Okay, so this is an idea we take out of this parsha. Now, I want to go back to another idea, going back to what we said before. When Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Klal Yisrael, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, very interesting, he says, okay, it's time to get the show on the road. Let me teach you Yitzias Mitzrayim course 101. The Hoitzesi, the Yitzalti, the Goalti, the Lokachti. The four Lashonis of Geula. And go tell this to the Jewish people. Moshe goes and he tells it to them. And what happens? V'loy shamu el Moshe mikoytze ruach ume avoido kosher. What does that mean? Pshudashol migra. They didn't listen to Moshe because the people couldn't breathe. They just couldn't breathe. The koitzer ruach. They were gasping for air. It sounds like they had corona, rachman watzlan. They couldn't breathe. They were working so hard in the field, they just didn't have the patience to listen. Umi avoda kasha. They were being tortured, right? Who is the subject? Who is the subject of mikoitzer ruach umi avoda kasha? The Jewish people. The Jewish people were gasping for air. They were being tortured in the field. Umi avoda kasha. So they don't have patience. We don't have time for to hear you. You want to make a speech? Leave me alone. Get out of here. No speeches. So Moshe goes to Hashem and Hashem says, Moshe says to Hashem, Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, no one wants to listen to me. So then we digress. Is that the pshat in the pasuk? Let's analyze the pasuk a little more carefully. I mean, that is the pshat according to Rashi. No kidding around. That's the pasha pshat in the pasuk. But what's going on here? There's something missing here. And there's a lesson about Jewish leadership, successful Jewish leadership. Moshe failed. He failed. Hashem told him, gave him a mission. Go now to Klal Yisrael and tell them the Dalil Lashonis of Geula. Hashem does not set up a person to fail. There's no such thing. This is not a Jewish education. Hashem is not setting you up to fail. He's setting you up to succeed. So why did Moshe fail miserably? Let's read the pasuk. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemar. Wait, okay, let's, one second, let's put it on mute. Let me read you the pasuk. Let's go back and see what it says over here. Moshe, Hashem says to Moshe, the Dalil Lashonis of Geula, how does Hashem instruct Moshe to say the words of Geula to the Jewish people? In Pasuk Vav it says, Lochein, therefore, Emor Livnei Yisrael, Ani Hashem. Say to them, Ani Hashem. And he goes on, V'yotzeis v'yitzalti v'goalti. When Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to the Jewish people, Vayidaber Moshe. Oh, wait, that's right away a red light. Vayidaber Moshe. Hashem said to Moshe, Emor, Lochein Emor, not Daber. And we all know this is something very basic, elementary. There's a difference between the word Dibur and Amira. Koy Soimar Livnei Yisrael, Rashi. What does it say in that pasuk? Koy Soimar Elu Hanoshim. When Moshe Rabbeinu gave a class for the sisterhood, for the women, it was a different tone. You don't speak to women the same way you speak to men. Women have different sensitivities. L'chein emor, emor, not daber. Emor is a soft expression. You don't speak with fire and brimstone to women. Doesn't work. To Noshim, you speak softly, delicately. They will listen to you much more if you speak to them in that tone. Men are very rough. They need to be knocked over the head with a stick. To men, you say, Vayidaber Moshe el b'nei Yisrael. You speak to them with a certain tekifos. Rashi tells us there's a fundamental difference between the word Amira and Dibur. Amira is soft. It's compassionate. It carries empathy, a sensitivity of empathy. Dibur carries harshness, toughness. Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, although generally the whole Torah is going to say, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe lemar, Daber el b'nei Yisrael, daber, daber, daber. Now's not the time for Dibur. Because right now the Jewish people are suffering miserably. So when you go and you tell them the Dala L'shonis of Geula, you know how you're going to speak to the men? You're going to speak to the men like you speak to women. I don't mean in that form exactly, but it means speak softly. Lochein. Lochein, therefore. Lamed chofnu, therefore. Emor livnei Yisrael, softly. What does lochein mean? Why is there a word lochein in the beginning of this pasuk? There's no extra word in the Torah. What's this word lochein all about? It's a little bit bizarre, this word lochein. Let me go back to the pasuk. I'm finishing off. Everybody say, I know it's late. I'm finishing off. Lochein emor livnei Yisrael. Therefore, lochein. What's lochein? It goes back on the previous pasuk. Vigam. The cries. B'nei Yisrael Asher Mitzrayim Ma'avidim Oysam Vo'eskar Esperisi. Lochein. Therefore, when it says the word Lochein, it's connecting this pasuk to the previous pasuk where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, I hear your tsar. I feel your pain. I hear the tzak, the nakas b'nei Yisrael. I remember the avos, the bris. And more, speak to the Jewish people with softness. What does Moshe Rabbeinu do? Vayedaber. He goes out into the field and he speaks to them with tekifus, with toughness. And what does he say? Instead of the word lochein, what word does it say? Vayedaber Moshe. Kain. Not lochein, kain. The word kain is a rough word. How do you know? By b'no slavchot. Kain doivros b'no slavchot. Hashem says about the b'no slavchot, they had an argument, they had a complaint. A complaint. It's not fair. Zeh lo fair. We also entitled to a Yerusha in the land. So Hashem says, kain doivros b'no slavchot. They're right. Hashem went and he spoke with the tekifos. Cain doivrice. Dibor, harshness, Cain. It was an expression. Boy, are they right. That's right. Their father died. They shouldn't be victimized and be left in the streets. They deserve the Yerusha of their father. Cain doivrice, B'nai Yisrael. Same combination here. Vayidaber, Dibor, Moshe, Cain. Hashem says, Moshe, you blew it. You get an F for Jewish leadership. I trained you in the Harvard of Jewish leaderships, in the Harvard School of Jewish leadership, that when the Jewish people are suffering, you say, Lochein. You acknowledge their suffering, the Nakas, and you say, Emor. And you, Moshe Rabbeinu, you blew it. You went, Vayidaber Cain. You want to know why they don't listen to you? Your tone is not right. It's like today, you gotta go on television, you have to, you know, you gotta appear nice. You have to know how to present yourself. And furthermore, what does it mean, mekoitze ruach o me'avoyde kasha? So I told you the subject was who? Klal Yisrael. No. Drush. Moshe Rabbeinu was, he was huffing and puffing. Moshe Rabbeinu was koitze ruach. When you spoke to the people, you had no patience for them. You had short breath. You were screaming at them. You were saying, I have a lot of work today. I have tons of work. I'm overworked, underpaid. Get out of the office. Go do what you're supposed to do and listen to me and don't bother me with this. I have too much work here today. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, presented yourself in front of the Jewish people as a person that is overworked. Avoda kosher. This is not. I don't want to do this. I don't want to be in this job. I don't want to be in this profession. If you don't love your profession, then get out of it. If you don't want to be, Rav Palm used to tell the people in the yeshiva, if you don't love children and love teaching them Torah, don't be a Rebbe here. You have to love what you do here, especially when it comes to, if you give the impression that it's avoda kosher to do this job, and then you convey that to the Jewish people, you have toast. If you come and you cough and puff, mikoytze ruach to them, you're done. If you speak to them with dibur, instead of amira, and instead of lochein, you say kain, you're finished. You want to know why. You want to know why. You failed. You failed. You did everything you could possibly do. You did wrong. You didn't do one thing right here. That's why they're not listening to you. Moshe, we got to start all over again. And that's why when Hashem hears this, Hashem, okay, Moshe, let's start from the beginning. And Hashem is miyaches him all the way back to his ancestors. When you miyaches someone, let's review, let's go back to the basics. Let's see where you came from. Let's study Jewish history. Let's study your parents. It was a retraining. Because Moshe, you don't know what you're doing. This is not the way you lead. You lead in this situation. There are times you have to get very angry. There are going to be times when you're going to say to the earth, you better open up your mouth and swallow up these Rishayim. Yeah, there's a time for that. But now is not the time. Now it's a time of Lochein. Now it's a time of Amira. Not a time of Dibur. Not a time of Cain. Not a time to be angry and have a shortness of breath that comes with anger. And not to convey to the people that this job that you have is kosher. It's torture. I don't want to be doing this. I'm being forced to do this job. That's why you'll fail. You're not going to have effective leadership. Baisa, we have a lot to learn from this parasha. We should be zoiche that the successful leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu, which certainly endures forever after he was retrained, should be with us, and the lesson should guide us to witness the coming of Mashiach. B'mehera v'yameinu, amen. Thank you, Rabbi. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Be well. Good Shabbos to everyone.
Amen.
Good Shabbos to everyone. Shabbos. Ron, Shabbos. I see you here, Ron. Good Shabbos, Ron. How are you, Ron?
Okay.
Have a good Shabbos, everybody.
Have a good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos,
Mark.
Shabbos. Thank you.
You have the trimmy mustache. We can't see the smile.
Thank you.
Aaron O'Cohen, are you on? Rabbi Ephraim,
yeah.
Are you in touch with Wilner, with Dr. Wilner?
He was here online this week. He was here online. I was not in touch with him, though.
Hey, I didn't see him.
All right.
Yeah, he was.
He was here today.
Okay, good.
Earlier.
Thank
you.
All right.
Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos. Good Shabbos. Good Shabbos. Good Shabbos. How's the mini going, Ron? Oh, he went out. Okay.
Who are you talking to?
No, he went and he already left. He already left. No, yeah, I'm talking about Mordechai Bidenstock. He's here, yeah?
Okay.
What? Not him, not him. Oh. No, there's Rabbi Spiro. Oh. Rabbi Spiro has a shul. He moved his shul. He used to have a shul on Avenue M for many, many years upstairs for many years, and then he bought property on Avenue L and East 12th Street, and they built a shul.
That's on
L and East 12th Street, the corner of L. You never saw it, Mayor? L and he
they're
built.
They're building something there now.
It's done already. They built it a long time ago. It's finished a long time ago.
There's a construction at the corner.
Right. It's done. He finished a long time ago. They moved in a long time ago.
No, but now there's still a wall there. There's a construction going on.
I don't know what's doing. I don't know. I didn't go in there, but it's in operation for a long time. He has a Besdin, a Koilel,
and a shul.
On the corner, that house, the corner house on L and East 12th Street.
Which side?
Not the side of Pomegranate. The opposite side of Pomegranate.
Yeah, but north or south?
Next to Voretsky.
Next to Voretsky, there's a house there. Hask has a residence.
Right, and
there.
the house after Hask, the next one.
Okay, so the corner house is not his house. The corner house is being rehabbed.
No, it's already past rehab. They already finished the rehab. The walls.
Did you put the fence down this week?
Fence. It's like a green fence. I don't think that's a real fence. I think that's just like shrubbery. It's not a real fence. It was always there, I think, that fence. I don't remember. All I can tell you is the shul has been open already for a very long time. He moved his shul, his koilel, and his bezdin. He has three things.
He was very sick.
Yeah, he had corona. He was very, very sick. He was very sick. Very, very sick. But Baruch Hashem, I think he's a little bit better. He's home. I don't know 100%. But his shul has been in operation in that location for almost a year, I think. Good Shabbos. I think almost a year. And before that, he was in operation on Avenue M upstairs for about maybe almost 20 years. You ever go there, Mayor? That shul upstairs?
He
used to have a shul on Avenue M.
Cross
McLaughlin. You had to go up this very narrow staircase all the way upstairs.
Top of this farm store, it used to be Hecht. Used to have a farm store there, I think.
No, I don't think it was a farm store. There was some stores there, whatever it was. You go all the way up. It was on Avenue, like across from Gladmart. He had a shul. He had a shul there with his bezdin and his koilel. It was, and now they move. I really wonder if...
What was it called? Beis Hara or something?
I don't know.
Yeah, Beis Hara. It's Moshe Benig Adam.
Yeah, okay. So Moshe Benig got him to set him up there.
Okay, fine, whatever.
I saw the Beis Hara. I didn't know they had a minion. I know there was a Beis Hara.
Yeah, there for 20 years. 20 years there was a shul there going on there. It was vibrant. It was vibrant. It was probably more vibrant then than it is now. I used to go to make a simcha there. There's a kiddush there. Go up there. It was lebedik. Had a very...
Wallerstein is making a big kiddush this week by Eisen.
Which Wallerstein? Zacharia?
Zacharia.
In honor of
his
what?
His son-in-law davens there. I don't know why. You ask me why? I think it's a Chil Hashem. What should I tell you? I got an email this week from a shul. I'm mentioning L'Tayva, Rabbi Golkowitz's shul. Where they had a mechitza, if you wanted to not wear a mask or wear a mask, it was behind the mechitza. And they made a decision. The shul is 100% masked. There's no such thing as a mechitza behind it. You don't want to wear a mask, don't daven with us.
Okay, that's how it is over here in Midwood. In Midwood, I'm here already.
That's the way it should be. I mean, what kind of an Irish guy is it?
Ever since they opened up, I've never seen the person walk in here without a mask. I daven in Mincha every day, Kamat, in Midwood. It's a big minion. Baruch Hashem, they have here 50, 60 people at least every day, Mincha Ma'ariv. Every single person is wearing a mask. No games. Every single person.
Same as Young Israel here in UK.
And the very...
That's the way it should be. What's the, you know...
It's not so bad. I can tell you it's not so bad. I never realized how it's... every year, Dr. Aaron Mandel, I don't know if you know, I know him, so he has a one-week koilel for the last 30 years. He used to be very, very popular.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So this year, he had a big dilemma. The one-week koilel was from January 25th, December 25th until January 1st. So this year, he had a very big dilemma what to do. Well, he's very, very makbid on this. He's very, what to do? Because the people also that come to the koilel, the one-week koilel, the core people that come every single, it's a small group, not more than 25 people. They're mostly older people, retired people by now. And years ago, they were younger people, whatever. But now there's a core of people that come every year, and you know it's the same people over there. They're older people now, and he doesn't want responsibility, so he didn't know what to do. They always have a Feivel Cohn shul. Who's the new rabbi of Feivel Cohn? Plutchik shul. They have it there now for the last couple of years. So the shul, right, Plutchik shul, you should know, is just like the Angizul of Midwood. That you must wear a mask. If you don't wear a mask, out. And they're very, very makbid there. So the rule was, the dilemma was, if they will have the koilel, they have to wear a mask in the shul the whole day. It's a whole day koilel. It goes from 9 to 5.
Okay.
So the question was, will the people who will come to the koilel, will they be willing to wear a mask the entire day? It's not so easy to ask them. One, you come to daven. Davening takes 45 minutes. Okay, here, you're going to be there from 9 o'clock until 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and you're not going to take off the mask the entire day. That's a tall order to ask people. And what are people going to say about that? So there's a very big level. Do you really struggle
with it? Very simple. Yeah. You go to a hospital, the nurse on our shift, a 12-hour shift, wears a mask the whole time.
Okay, but this is not a hospital. And these are people, they're not
in a hospital. A person can wear a mask if it's
yeah, so do you want or not? A nurse is being paid good money to wear the mask. Over here, no one's paying them any money. What are you talking about?
Learning Torah is not better than being a nurse?
I'm afraid it's not. We all know that it's not.
Grada, a lot of Jewish girls, a lot of from girls are now becoming nurses.
Very good. Beautiful.
I want to tell you, I'm reading this right now. I got it from
the story.
On Tuesday night in Bnei Brak, there was a wedding.
Yeah.
By today, there are over 30 confirmed positives, including the chasen kala, the parents, the grandparents, the uncles.
Ay, gvalt, where?
The Kaddisha Yerushalayim said in the first and second rounds they were burying 2-3 corona victims a day. Today the average is 8-9.
Ay, gvalt.
They don't remember ever there was such a thing like that. I mentioned this yesterday. In America's Rav Kook, they didn't have a single corona case. They had capsules.
Yeah.
But the young kid who was killed, Sandak, a 16-year-old kid, the car overturned, they were doing running away from the police, whatever it was. So there were a bunch of Breslov students in America decided to go to demonstrate. They came without permission, they came by without being examined.